Good morning, Adelaide. 10 minutes past 9 o'clock. 104.7 on the dial. We're also on listener as well. Apologies out there. Callum Ferguson's first time behind the buttons.
I'm definitely not behind there. Let me give you the hot tip, family. I'm not behind it.
We have had a dead set nightmare. We've had no opener. And this is what happens when all the big dogs come to Adelaide. Everyone messes with what's going on. The small city of churches, we can't handle it all. As I say, good morning to you, Tommy Rockliffe. Hello, mate.
Yes, good morning, Radelaide. What a time to be alive down there in the city of churches. Absolutely amazing. It's what happens when you have Billy Brownless and these guys roll into town. I mean, we're going as well as the Adelaide Crows are this morning.
What a day, though, in the festival beautiful state. Yep. Magnificent here. Not a cloud in the sky. Magnificent. Another great day of gather round to come.
Yep, absolutely beautiful. Righto, so we're a bit behind time, so let's talk about the Port Adelaide Football Club. Good last night, and you were there in the flesh, Fergus. They were just absolutely superb.
Electric. I think from quarter time, I sort of thought, oh, the Bombers, my boys, are in the mix here. They've competed pretty well. But gee whiz, how good was Connor Rosie? He picked that side up on his shoulders and said, not tonight, Essendon.
Yep.
You're not going to get near us. And we didn't get anywhere near Port. They were fantastic. Out the middle, I thought Essendon might challenge them because they'd been so good in the contest all year so far. And they just couldn't get a sniff of it. Port Adelaide, dominant. And you've just got to say that the back line as well, I thought they defended as well as they have all year. The three key tools at the back gelled and worked beautifully together, and you couldn't be more impressed with Port.
No, absolutely. You've got a midfield there for the next 10 years as well. You've got Butters, Rosie, Horn Francis, and Willem Drew, who just plays that negating role and negative role through the midfield for them. So they all complement each other really well. They've all got their own weapons. And as I said, they do them so well and just dominated the contest in the end. Essendon had more of the footy, but effectively they just uncontested brand of footy that didn't shift the footy inside 50. Port Adelaide dominated plus 20 inside 50s again. Their marks inside 50. Essendon out-tackled them, but that's what happens when you don't have the footy, and ran out really big winners in the end, Port Adelaide. Good win for them.
Butters and Rosie, obviously, they're just rolls off the tongue these days. I was watching the opener last night, sitting there on the couch, and hairs on the back of the neck sort of stuff about the, you know, what they've been able to do and transform from kids into leaders right now. And Zach Butters is going to join us just after 10 o'clock morning. But Connor Rosie, that first half was just insane. He had three goals and 20 touches by half time. No other captain's done it this year. They're quite incredible. So,
Any captain had done it. Like, it's just an extraordinary performance.
Very, very good. So it'll be interesting to see how that's going to play out, in the remainder of the year. But if they play anywhere near that, they are a serious contender, Rock.
Yeah, they certainly are. And their forward line, they get Pepper back potentially this week. So they've got some cattle to come back into that team. If they can perform like that, I've seen this as a bit of a danger game. I thought Essendon were pretty good last week against St Kilda, showed some fight, come back, and just the way they dominated the contest, really, after quarter time. It was a bit of an arm wrestling that first quarter, but they were super efficient, which you don't normally say about Port Adelaide. They always get a lot of inside 50s, but from their 63, they had 30 shots on goal last night, which is really good for them. If you're having 30 shots in a game, and they kick straight, which was really important as well, but they didn't win the hit-outs, but their clearance, their ground-level stuff was outstanding, and the big one was the centre-bounce clearances, 19-6. It's an absolute domination.
You've got to say it's a good bounce back, too. They would have been under pressure, lost to Melbourne at home last week, so there's a bit on the line coming into this one. Gather round, you want to put on a good show for the South Australians and the Port fans. They did that. They could not have been more impressive in the way they bounced back after last week.
Well, you think about Port Adelaide as well. Yes, they lost the game against Melbourne, but they dominated that game and probably should have won, shot themselves in the foot. Right. Melbourne was super efficient when they went inside 50. I think they kicked 15-5 or something along those lines. So their start to the season is, you'd have to be happy with it. Yes, you've coughed up a game to Melbourne, but Melbourne sit on top of the ladder for a reason as well.
Yep, absolutely. Like I said, Zach Butter's going to join us just after 10 o'clock as well. Now, we had some troubles early on here at the top of the hour.
That's probably fair.
I think we can all put our hands up and not.
No, only one person. Only one person.
We can all put our hands up and say that we're all in this together, even though you're in the news booth in Brisbane. Rock, you had something to do with it.
I think Rocky's made it clear that it's everyone everyone for themselves.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was the drowning man. It was the drowning man. Yes. Come with me. I look down on the run sheet here, and I see Dead Set Legend Special Investigation. Yes. It's the first one for the year.
Yes. I'm very nervous.
I am very nervous as well.
So you should be.
I've got nothing to... I don't know what's going on.
I've been part of no side text messages. I know it's coming to me.
Our producer out the back.
Yeah.
We're all in the gun.
Just going to press a button to see if I can get a song going. We're away.
Racing.
We're away. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. It's the Dead Set Legends. We're back on track for Get Around.
Family.
19 minutes past 9 o'clock. 104.7 on the dial. We're also on listener as well. It's the Dead Set Legends. The full kit and caboodle ready to rock and roll today for Gather Around. Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tom Hunt.
Another Dead Set Legends special investigation.
Now, we don't really want to do this, do we, Fergus?
No, we never do, but it has to be done.
Yep, absolutely. Now, some information has come across your desk.
It has.
Because we're just going to stop you right there. Tommy Rockcliffe.
Yes.
You've heard some information about Callum Ferguson?
Some disturbing mail came across our desk. We heard that
Ferg had
flown to Melbourne again to do one of those great TAB ads that he always does. Gamble responsibly, of course, yeah. But they're shocking. Anyway, we've heard
background music, the one with Georgie Parker.
Just
anyway. I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, he's flown back in and went to throw the home address into the GPS. Unfortunately, it didn't quite take him home, though, Tomo, did it? It took him on a different route, I think, through the district. Is
Straight
that right?
To the district. Straight Thursday to afternoon district. Now, man.
Thursday afternoon. So he hasn't seen his family again for another 4 or 5 days. And, Ferg, let me tell you, it doesn't end well when stuff like that happens. I'm through that at the moment. You've got to make sure you're home.
Yes.
But it doesn't always pan out that way. I'm feeling that at the moment. But that's another topic altogether. But... You ventured out there, didn't want to be part of the punters. Tomo's there waiting for you, and he said, Tomo, he sent you a message. Ferg, where are you, mate? I'm out the front. Oh, no, I'm just out the green room with JB.
Yep. This is all true so far?
Yes. Exactly how it happened.
So, he's out the back, but the concerning thing was later in the night, so he's given the punters nothing. He's rolled into a pub, I'm led to believe, after that. Is that correct,
yep.
Fergus? You ventured elsewhere?
Went for a feed.
Yes. Went for a feed.
With a couple of mates.
Watched the footy and a couple of mates. The concerning thing for me is I've been around a long, long period of time and kookaburra bats or anything like that. I've never thought to sign one. Tom, have you ever thought to sign a microphone or something like that?
No. And to be fair, no one's asked, Rob.
We have photo evidence of you just thought you'd slip your name on a Sharon Fergus and... put it alongside Nathan Buckley and Billy Brownless.
Are you signing footballs in Gather Round?
Absolutely.
You are signing
I signed a footy. I did. Absolutely. Yep.
Now, we've been able to track the man down. Josh from Athelstan, are you there?
Morning, boys. How are we?
Morning, Josh.
Joshy, is this true that Callum Ferguson has signed your football?
Yes.
Can you just... Tell us what happened on the Thursday night.
Is this the Williston Waterboy?
So I rocked up to the district for the rush hour and sitting there with my old man having a beer. And last gather round, I had a footy I get it signed by as many people as possible with the idea that they're either like famous or they're footballers. So I got last year, I managed to get like Mally, I managed to get Gills, so I thought this year, like, I'll run it back. I got another footy. So I rocked up Thursday thinking, beautiful. So I saw Billy Brown, and I'm like, fat, can you sign my footy for me, please? He's like, yeah, mate, yeah, sure. I got a pick with him and everything. And then this guy standing next to him is like, oh, hey, mate, like, I'll sign it too. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, all right. Like, yeah, well, I thought it was Greg Blewett. So let him sign my footy. And yeah, then he goes, I'll sign your scarf too if you like, mate.
He's doubled down, Rob.
What is going on, Ferg?
Yeah, and then he asked me to sign his forehead, so I did that too. Straight across his melon.
What is going on? I know it's big, Gather Round's big for everyone, but footballs, Fergus. Where are we at there?
Yeah, no, I'm flying. I'm flying at the moment.
You would never have played, I think, even Sandford Reserves grade footy, let alone signing Sharon's on a Gather Round.
Sandboy Cup at North Adelaide Roosters.
Oh, man. I think this is a good one, Rock. And then I asked him, I said to Fergus yesterday, I said, Fergus, you're going to go watch your beloved Bombers with Port Adelaide?
That's right, yeah.
I said, you'd be out with the punters, wouldn't you? He goes, I've got the option.
Behind the glass again. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Where's he at?
I popped out for a bit of fresh air to go to the toilet at one point, but that was about it.
Triple M 104.7 on the dial. 24 minutes away from at 10 o'clock. It's the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cow Ferguson and Tom M. We're here all thanks to Sterling Homes as well.
We are. How good are they? Oh, seriously. Yeah. South Australian-owned company. Brilliant. Get around them.
Love it. If you're thinking about building your next or your first home, check out Sterling Homes. They offer build time guarantees as quick as 34 weeks from a slab pour. Now, my family's in the building industry.
Yep.
Fergus, 34 weeks is quite insane. Some people are waiting 2 years.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yep.
They are outstanding. So make the first move towards building your new life. Visit sterlinghomes.com.au or call 8340-1115. T's and C's apply.
Yeah, and for don't forget, yes, that's exactly
T's
right.
T's and C's
to apply.
That one. Now, yes, we are big here at the Dead Set Legends on sort of owning our mistakes, aren't we?
Well, that's right. I mean, accountability. When things don't go to plan and we're responsible, we make sure we put our hand up. Yep. A lot like you did earlier, Tomo. It was my fault, Rocky's fault, Tom Basso, our producer's fault.
I think I might have wedged
Tomo's fault, though.
I might have wedged the Vicks in there as well.
It was elbows.
Seriously, it's the biggest show for us.
Oh, yeah.
We got the whole country's in Adelaide.
Oh, yeah.
So they're all on 104.7 Triple M listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we deliver that, Rock?
Well, we delivered this. We opened up the mics and we delivered this at 9 o'clock. Oh, here we go. Adelaide, great to have your company. What's going on here? I've got no control on the desk. Can you hear me, Fergus?
I've got you loud and clear, Tomo.
Oh, no. I think there's some sort of delay going on. We're going to have to hit off a couple of songs. This is no good start. We'll do this and move on. Oh, my God.
That's some really crisp stuff, that.
So we're back live.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one person responsible for that. That's a bloke pushing the button.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Rock, just a quick one on that. Yeah. Loz, who dominates breakfast, where he did some Loz, eyeballed me a couple of weeks ago and said, you are still the worst panel op in the country.
No.
Her claim has just been backed up by that performance.
Yeah. She was bang on the money.
What it reminds me of is the Rush Hour's first episode of season 2024.
I was listening to this. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Oh, hang on. Someone going to say something?
Well, can I just apologise to everyone out there? Are we on?
Testing.
Nah, we've had a few issues.
Do you know who got all that? Mount Gambier.
Seriously. I was listening that day.
Yeah.
And it took him over half an hour to get it sorted.
half an hour.
It was a Saturday morning. No one's here. And we've got it sorted. We're back on
it. 2 minutes it took us. It took them half an hour. What is going on? Seriously. They are a rabble at the Rush Hour.
Great to have Sterling Homes on board, 16 minutes away from at 10 o'clock. Make sure you do go check them out as well, sterlinghomes.com.au. Time to get a little bit serious, boys, and talk about the Adelaide Football Club. What's going on down there at West Lakes? Zip and four, just a horrendous start. Three of the four losses against sides that didn't make the eight last year. Rock, how are you seeing it?
Yeah, disappointed. I was pretty bullish on the Adelaide Crows this year, what they were able to do last year. I really rate Matty Nix as a coach. I think he's very good. I pushed his name a little bit when I was asked about him from people with inside the Adelaide Crows footy club. He was obviously at Port Adelaide before that, and I still think he is a good coach and gets the most out of him. But they've just been so disappointing. Their players, I think, need to take responsibility here for this one. They're out of sorts, out of form. Josh Rochelle comes in and out of games far too much for me. He might need to pinch it in the midfield, or maybe even make a statement and leave him out. Leave him out of they need to try something to shake it up, because I called their first game against the Gold Coast Suns at home, and yes, the rain came a little bit, but that was one of the worst displays of footy I've seen in the first three quarters of that game. They came back almost pinch it. Geelong, they can't get the job done. Fremantle, far too good for them. They showed signs late against Melbourne, but this will be now this potentially seventh year that they don't play finals. I think 2017 was the last time they played finals. All the noise around the football club from board to players to coaches was this is exactly how their rebuild was planned out, and this was the year that we were going to see them skyrocket, play finals footy. Admittedly, they probably should have played finals last year, but a goalpost cost them that, or a goal umpiring decision, but that's footy, you move on from that. So they're thereabouts, half a game out of playing finals last year, and now the rebuild's complete. This is exactly where they want to be, but where are they at? Like, they're not going to play finals footy again. Tex looks sore. We know that he's got his back issues. He's not in the form that he was. Rory Laird's slightly come off a little bit. Brody Smith's getting on in age. Where to for the Adelaide Crows? Like, what's their brand of footy? What are they bringing that's going to take them into finals? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we talked a bit about their list over the last couple of years and how it seemed like they were heavily invested in certain areas of the ground and just maybe not as strong as they needed to be in others. You look at the injuries they've had down back, which has left them quite light on, you'd have to say. And you do wonder whether they needed to try and bring in a big key defender, you know, an established player. We know Essendon went out and got Ben Mackay, which was a big move, and Port brought a couple in, Radigalia and Zirk Thatcher. Maybe the Crows could have gone down that path.
Mark Keane's been good.
Keane's been good, yeah. Hasn't he? He's been a good find. But when you do lose some key personnel, it always hurts. And I wonder whether that's hurt the Crows maybe a little bit more than what we were expecting, maybe. But, you know, gosh, it feels like they've got a lot of very similar players running through the midfield. We've talked about it all winter so far, and it's starting to really hurt them.
As a sheer fact, and this is coming from a fan of the Adelaide Football Club, the draft hands over, you know, since sort of 2018 haven't been great. Like, you look back on some of those selections, you've got to still, you know, give time. There's Silthorpe, there's Pedler that are early draft picks as well. But it, as a sheer fact, they haven't turned out to the ones that you want. And you look across the road, the Port Adelaide have always gone well and nailed their draft selections. There's no doubt about that. Don't get me wrong, there's some diamonds in the rough. Saligo was mid-30s and he was very, very good the other night. Picked up 27 touches as well. Yep. So there's ebbs and flows with it all, but unfortunately at the moment, it's a win-loss industry.
Yeah, it is. I've always felt like, Rock, that they've just been a team, particularly last year, they got their wins on the back of outworking teams, willpower, effort, but it wasn't necessarily high skill level. Effort was their thing.
That's exactly right, and it hasn't been there to start the season. No. They jump on when the downhill skiing a little bit, and Rochelle's one of them. Rochelle's not sighted in games until things start to go well for him, and then all of a sudden he bobs up and has an impact on the game and potentially a match winner, but he's got to do that when things aren't going well, and he's not alone, and I've said his name, but he's been there 2-3 years now. He's got to grab hold. The draft picks are an interesting one. Like, who are you talking about? Chase Jones over Zach Butters?
Well, you look at it, like, yeah, and that's a...
Galucci.
Like, there's, you know, you look at, like, Zach Butters is, you know, was favourite to win the Brownlow medal last year, you know, absolutely. Like, and Chase Jones is a good footballer as well. Like, he's going to be a good servant for the Adelaide Football Club if he's not already. But that's, you're looking at the other, you know, the Fisher-Mackesy one that you can look back on, you know, that was pick six, and there was different reasons for that as well. I think on a whole, if you look back at the Adelaide Footy Club, they must think at times and just think, yeah, maybe we probably got or could have done that a bit differently. But it's the great unknown as well. It's a risk picking any player in the draft.
Absolutely it is. Ned McHenry at 16 seems like one that may be a miss as well, but the concerning thing for them is they've got Carlton at Marvel Stadium next week, which you would imagine they lose that. On form at the moment, so they go 0-5. Then they got the Bombers at home on a big Friday night. Do the Bombers get up for that? Because we know the Crows have struggles on the road. That's been history over the last couple of years. Then does their first win come against North Melbourne potentially at Blundstone Arena? Showdown Lions Collingwood. Like, their draw's not getting any easier.
No, it's not. What was the stat you read out earlier, Rock, around starts to the season and making finals?
I think it was there's only been one team in the AFL era that started worse than 0-4 and made finals.
Sydney?
Sydney Swans were 0-6 and scraped in, just made the numbers up. But again, you don't want to be just making the numbers up, and we know the competition's so even, but you would think now that they're 0-4, it's near impossible for them to play finals.
But we're not telling them anything that they don't know, Fergus. That's the thing. Like, they know this more than us.
Yeah. No, they do. Look, this is really tough times. And this is probably a really tough one to hear. But, you know, at what point do they start looking to next year already?
Well,
kids. I mean, when do you start playing the kids?
I think you nearly have to for a couple more weeks and then start to look for the kids.
All right, let's do this. Let's go to the phones. 1-3-3-5-3. What needs to change at Adelaide? What would you do if you were head coach? What do you want to see from a fan's point of view? There's 48 in the house the other night. Obviously, everyone was frustrated, disappointed at the loss. But what would you do? 1-3-3-5-3. We've got some great prizes to give away as well. These incredible double passes to Morfettville Stakes Day, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes.
Superb.
How good.
1-3-3-5-3. Crows fans want to hear from you next here at Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. 6 minutes away from at 10 o'clock. And we're talking the Crows right now on 1-3-3-5-3. Zipping four. Rocky, you had a quick summary about what's going on down there at West Lakes, if you could share that quickly again.
Yeah, well, I think you think of the Adelaide Crows, particularly of last year, and you think their effort was uncompromising, where this year I don't think you could say that about them. I think they pick and choose a little bit, and they're out of form, clearly out of form, a couple of their good players, but I think their effort certainly dropped away, and there's too many that pick and choose when they want to have a crack.
Yeah, and what about you, Fergus? Where are you seeing them?
Oh, look, I do wonder whether some of those losses down back are really starting to hurt them, but it does feel like the opposition sides are just squeezing Dawson when he gets to the contest, and he's been the one that's done the damage using skill coming out of contest so regularly that he hasn't been able to do it this year as convincingly.
Yeah, for sure. And you heard some audio throughout the week as well?
Yeah, so David King and Kane Corns had a really good discussion around the Crows, and also David King caught up with Matthew Nix.
So are they? You're saying that they're lack of talent.
100%.
Are they in real trouble then? Because Walker kicked 70 last. Taylor Walker's not Taylor Walker anymore. Whether it's the back, whether it's the off field heartbreak that he's been going through, I don't know what it is. But no Taylor Walker, that spells trouble. And I'm not sure who's going to replace him. Fogarty's not probably the player they thought they'd recruited. Thilthorpe, there's a question mark on. And then you look through the experience, like if Laird goes out and Smith goes out.
Laird's fumbly.
Are Adelaide in real trouble then?
In real trouble, absolutely.
List trouble.
You agree?
Yeah, I think so. You look at the best midfields in the comp and their run and spread is what's doing the damage. On turnover, they've got speed. They're able to really punish you on the scoreboard. The Crows aren't showing any of that this year. They were a high-scoring team last year, Rock, and that's just dried up.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's interesting they signed Matty Nix before the start of the season. He's fifth year now and potentially not going to play finals. Not many coaches last 5 years without playing a final at all.
1-3-3-5-3, what needs to change at the Crows? We head out to Gawler.
Yes.
We got Colin there. Colin, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one is I think the biggest mistake they made was signing Rankin, especially for the dollar value that they're paying him. They could have paid him a hell of a lot less, so either that or picked up a couple of kids. The other option, I believe, is that they need to recruit players that are between 6 foot and 6 foot five, that can run, a little bit like Pat Cripps, that are able to get the ball to start with and then use the ball properly, so run them through the midfield or whatever. And I also find that I believe that they're a little bit soft at the ball. They need to be a little bit tougher at it, especially some of the blokes like the Ruckman and Thilthorpe when he's playing, and also the other tall fella that they've got up forward. They don't seem to be performing as well as what they really need to be. You know, Walker can only do so much, and I believe he's not fit. So I just think they got to really be a little bit more serious about what they're doing and recruit the right sort of players, and not too many. They've got too many short players.
Yeah, thanks for your call there, Colin. I don't agree with the one with Rankin. I think Rankin's been a great
ad.
Yeah,
I'm with you. He's going to be a fantastic player for a long time, and he gives them the explosiveness they need.
I think it's a great point, though, that they're not hard enough all the time at it. I think that's the thing that we're seeing this year. They're not as uncompromising in their effort and attack as what they have been in the past. Let's head out to Scott. I think we've got Scott there.
Yep, we do, mate. Scott from Greenworth. Scott, thoughts on the Crows?
Yeah, mate. He's got to start using Cheese as a tagger. When Cheese plays in the forward line, a lot of the time he runs around with no idea where he's going and he's always in the wrong positions. When he tags someone, that player that he's tagging takes him to the right position on the ground and he's always in the right place to do things with the ball, and he becomes a very effective player. Just playing in the forward lines, he basically does very little for us because he has no direction.
Okay. That's an interesting one.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of sides out there with players that you would like to shut down, and maybe you could play off that player as well a little bit. But he's a he's actually one guy that is uncompromising with the way he goes about his footy. So we go out to Megan at Mount Gambier. Megan, you got some thoughts around the list management?
Well, I think it's got to start with a list manager. We've got to look at who we're recruiting. I don't think they've done the right job there, and we could do a lot better. So I think the list manager has to go.
And what is it about the players that he's brought in that you're not sure about?
I just don't think we've recruited enough depth. We've got a lot of the same type of players. We need a bit more radical players.
Okay.
That's fair enough. And you look at the other night as well, and they had their opportunity. Like, you look at the possession winners on the ground. So they're getting the footy, but their system's clearly broken down. Crouch has 30, Petrarca has 29, and then it's Smith 27, Saligo 27, Hinge 24, Laird 24, Dawson 23, King 23, before another Melbourne player.
Wow.
So they're seeing the footy, but they're not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
So that's skill, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, and connection. Yeah. Connection and game plan and breakdown. So they've got a lot to work on.
They've really struggled to break tackles this year too, Rock, haven't they?
Anything that they don't know, right. But pretty disappointing start to the season for the Adelaide Crows.
Tony at Glen, finish us off, mate. We could take 1,000 calls on this, but you're the last one. What do you got?
Well, I honestly think that the Mitchell they got is not strong enough compared to other clubs. If you look at the other clubs, they have four strong midfielders. We haven't got that. We might have one if you're lucky.
So you agree with the vanilla comment then, I take it. Wait, and Jordan Dawson's pretty strong and at it though, Tone.
Yeah, Dawson's okay. He's had in patches he's been playing like that this year, but last year he played a lot better. But I still reckon the midfield, they don't recruit enough in the midfield section. Each club has really strong midfielders, so we don't have it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. There was a comment made earlier around a lot of recruitment of very similar sized players at the Crows in the midfield. There's quite a few guys that are sort of around that 180 centimetre, isn't there, Rock? So maybe that's something they can look at, try and diversify a bit of their body type.
Yep. Thank you so much for your calls on that as well. And yeah, really appreciate it. Dead Set Legends. Quarter past 10, 104.7 Adelaide's at Triple M, the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Akau Ferguson and Tomo. The Port Adelaide Football Club absolutely dominant last night. Too good. From siren to siren, 69-point runaway winners. And one of their stars, absolute stars of the competition, Zach Butters, joins us right now. Morning, Zach.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Mate, how did you pull up? Seriously. And are we going as far as witches, hats, cones yet?
Oh, hang on.
I wouldn't go that far. No, it was still a tough game. And you have to play your best footy to beat Essendon. They've been in good form earlier in the year. And they've got a lot of certs in their team as well. So it was a good performance by the boys. And I thought it was a good four-quarter performance. We sat on top of things all night, which was good.
And Zach, you've obviously matured a fair bit. You're a vice captain now, which is just blows my mind to think that you could have any sort of leadership role. But how have you found that? You and Connor obviously leading from the front, been outstanding in the season so far.
Yeah, it's been good, Rocky. Probably got a bit of my leadership stuff from you and your maturity levels when you were at the club. So it's been good.
If Tom Rockliffe got a captaincy of any AFL club, you should be Premier of the state.
Royal Commissioner,
mate. No, I'd like to think the same. No, it's been good. Rose's been a good leader for the boys, and I think he has a really good balance. And then I think if he keeps having performances like that, it definitely helps his case as well.
Zach, it's... obviously always a challenge when you've lost a home game. You don't lose a lot at home, so there's a bit of pressure that probably comes with your next performance in front of your home fans, particularly on Gather Round. Fantastic performance. How did you go about managing that pressure leading into the game?
Yeah, I thought we weren't too negative about last week's game. We thought we were in the contest. We probably just slipped away in a few crucial patches and probably a little bit in the last quarter as well, which probably let it slip. And so we just fine tinkered some things at training this week. Really went to work on the details and what makes us a good team. And I felt like it was a short turnaround, so we got to get back out there and play some footy pretty quickly. And I think the boys are pretty eager to put on a good show for Gather Round. Adelaide's buzzing and a big crowd, probably as big as they nearly get for us other than showdowns in Adelaide. So it was good to show a good four quarter performance.
And yeah, looking back last week, you probably should win that game against Melbourne. Unfortunately, you didn't take your opportunities when you went inside 50. But I want to talk about the centre square bounce for you guys, Zach. You absolutely dominated that area last night. You won the centre clearances 19-6. You've got Carr as the midfield coach there. What do you put that down to? An absolute dominant display through the centre square bounce?
Yeah, I think the addition of Big Soldo has been good to the group. He brings good energy and he's pretty predictable in there. You know what you're going to get from him each night. He's good in the contest and follows that well. And I think having Horn Francis back in really adds another dimension to our midfield group. And then, yeah, I felt like we were able to get on top and probably get some better looks out of there this week compared to last week. Last week, we were probably a bit scrappy and weren't giving our forwards the kind of best value. So we're able to get some deeper entries and then from there, able to score, lock it in and play front half footy.
Speaking to Port Adelaide superstar Zach Butters, the vice-captain of the Port Adelaide Football Club. Now, Zach, I saw some interesting footage and audio throughout the off-season. Ken Hinckley was mic'd up, and he was very, very adamant on you not going too hard in sort of January, February with contests and not getting beaten up. Is that, obviously, it doesn't come naturally to you, but do you take that stuff on board? Do you see the bigger picture now, you know, a few more years into the system?
Yeah, sometimes it is hard to take on board in the heat of the moment. Pre-season can get pretty fiery and they're long, hot days, so you can get your head on a bit sometimes. But I think I'm gaining a better balance of picking your moments and knowing when to really crack in. And I feel like I've got a good balance on it, but yeah, still need a friendly reminder sometimes.
And everyone speaks about the midfield and how good it is. Rosie, Horn, Francis, Butters, the midfield for the next 10 years. A guy that's often forgotten is Willem Drew, who does all the defending in there. Is there any chance of Rosie, Horn, Francis, or yourself doing any defending at all this year?
Come on, Rock, seriously.
Rock, you're speaking like a man that did a lot of defending himself.
Yeah. Give the man a chop out. Let him get a kick. Any danger?
Rock, did you watch the game? Seven tackles last night.
Oh, Zach, inside
Rocky,
tackles around.
Rocky went about a quarter time.
He's quick to forget, isn't he, boys?
Oh, yeah. You're not wrong, Zach. Seriously. Have a listen to him.
Oh, man.
Nah. Jury is an unsung hero, and he does do a lot of the bulk work and really help us out. So, we love Jury. And, we had some good years under Rocky, and maybe he did get some defensive traits in you, Rocky.
Yeah, we love Jury. Push me out in a retirement.
yeah, we love him, don't we?
Zach, you're a star, mate. What's on for the rest of the weekend? Are you going to catch a couple of games, gather around? The weather's beautiful. What happens?
Cuddles?
No cuddles, Rock. I've got some family and friends over, and I've got a mate playing in the state game in Glenelg, so I'll probably have to watch him for a bit and... keep it pretty low key. The weather's been nice, so down the beach this morning, and it's a good place in the world to be in at the moment.
Beautiful, mate. You're a star. Thank you so much for your time. Hopefully you pulled up well, and good luck for the rest of the year. Thanks again for your time.
So easy, boys. Look after Rocky for me.
Yeah, we're
trying.
Always, mate. Always.
Thanks, Zach.
Jeez, is there too many better players to watch in the competition at the moment? He's as hard as a cat's head. I absolutely love it.
Oh, mate, just charging like a bull. And to be honest... Rosie, Horn, Francis, the same. The burst is extraordinary to watch.
They're in very good form. If they continue, it'll go deep into September, I think.
Now, next, some damning audio was put across the wireless last night. We're all talking about it.
We're all taken aback a bit.
There's too many big dogs in Adelaide at the moment, the City of Churches.
Yes, yeah, Festival State.
You don't want to go off half-cocked, do you?
104.7 on the dial. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockcliffe, Cow Ferguson and Tom are here until 11:30 today. Then Triple M will be a rocking football. Adelaide is where all the big dogs are in media of the football world at the moment. They've come from... Perth, Sydney, Melbourne, even Tassie. Yep. Everyone's here, Fergus.
Yeah, big personalities, and I'm not sure they're all gelling all that well at the minute. And I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed a bit of radio that was on yesterday afternoon. My phone lit up like a Christmas tree about midway through the day, and it was around about when Triple M were going about their business to, in the run into what was going to be a pretty bland game of footy, but let's just say the run in wasn't bland.
Well, the huddle, this is, it was broadcasting live down at the Colonist in Nord there, and they had a special guest on, Rocky, Kane Corns. You heard the audio.
Yeah, he came on, and the thing is with Kane Corns, he makes really good points. He always has his arguments and he sets it up and he'll debate any topic what's delivered. He always, whether you love him, hate him, agree with him or disagree with him, he always has evidence to back it up. And I think someone challenged him and took him on and didn't quite have his ducks in a row.
Well, he hadn't quite done the preparation that Kane Corns has done over the years, I reckon.
No, so let's have a listen. So Luke Darcy asked the question.
The Duke.
And Kane has the answers.
K,
Kane, I've been wanting to ask you this question, and I'm not being critical, so please take this the right way. You're a 300-game player, and you've got a special place in the footy community, as you should have for your deeds on the football field. And I feel like the footy community's a golden ticket of people who genuinely have each other's back. But you take a position that is almost unique, where you've been probably more mean-spirited and nasty to people than anyone in the history of our industry. Do you feel like, and that trade obviously gets you paid well, do you feel like that trade is worth it when you sit back after a weekend like that? Is it something that you're comfortable with?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it, Darcy. I don't say anything that I don't believe in. I'm not sure what you're referring to in terms of nasty and mean-spirited. If you want to give me some examples, I'm happy to hear them and debate them.
I think it's a bit harsh, Darcy. Sorry to be a bit harsh there. No, well, I'm just asking a question that I think, because there's always a role for a shock.
What in particular do you think was nasty and mean-spirited?
Look, I could send you a number of edits, but I think you do take a position.
Go now. If you're going to say...
I think your commentary on Trent Cotchin, I thought, was particularly nasty. Your commentary on AFL coaches is nasty at times.
You didn't find that humorous. A lot of other people did. I don't think that was nasty and mean-spirited. I thought that was...
But I think there's a view in the community that you've taken an edge that very few people have done before. And I'm not being critical. That's a role you take. And people like Piers Morgan do that in the UK and make a lot of money for it. And there's always a role for a Steve Price here in this job. I'm just wondering whether that trade of being that role, and that's the role that you play, whether you feel when it gets to, you know, the wash of being in a footy community, having people generally uneasy about that, is that something you feel is worth it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't do it if I didn't. You would say nasty, I would say outspoken, I would say divisive, possibly. I would say that I've got strong opinions, but at any time, like, you can ring me up and debate them with me if you think it's out of line, or an AFL coach can do that, or a talkback caller can do that on the radio. I'm more than happy to have that out and front up to the opinions. I don't make things up. I don't say things for the sake of it. Have I got it right all the time? Absolutely not. Have I gone 20% too hard at times? Absolutely I have, but I don't think we always get it right. You know, I've asked you to name me what you think is nasty and mean-spirited. You've come up with Trent Cotchin, which was a comedy skit, so I disagree with that. And we can go back and forth, and you can send me some edits if you like, but of 8 years in the media, you've come up with one example of being nasty and mean-spirited.
Well, yeah, it wasn't up for the debate. It was more around just that role. I think you have assumed a role in our industry, and I see you in Belsor in the gym today, and you look like someone who doesn't want to bump into people, and I find that a little bit sad, and I wonder whether that trade is what I was getting to. I'm being critical.
I didn't see if I had seen you, and I think most people. So I'm quite introverted, actually, like a little bit different. But if I'd have seen you, I would have stopped and shaken your hand and said hello.
Oh, wow. It was must listen. It really was. Das went off half cock and just had no evidence whatsoever to back it up, did he? I know what he was trying to say. He said, Kane, you've been a bit edgy. You see a negative when people see positive, but he just couldn't get it out, and he had no examples. And Kane was all over
him. Oh, mate. He had him in the corner ducking and diving, and there was no rope-a-dope about it. He was just copping it.
Like Chief said something like, Kane might have lost the fight the other night, but he won this one.
Proper hammering.
19 minutes away from 11 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cow Ferguson and Tomo. We want to know on the text line as well, 0488 51047. Hit us up. Who have you seen in Adelaide this weekend?
Yeah, good one.
Yep. There's been like some real big dogs floating around in the football world. Our spot Everett down the coast.
Was he?
Yep.
The great man.
That landed in my inbox a couple of days ago. I think he was down there at West Beach, which is just brilliant.
This is his studio up here. He does Gold Coast breakfast.
Yeah, right.
Big spider.
Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. Now, Triple M. Had a bit of a mishap throughout the week.
Yeah, it came across my desk a few days ago, Tomo. And look, there's been a couple of words over the journey that have tripped you up a little bit, and one of them's obviously anonymous.
Anonymous is...
a what? You nearly got that out then. Anonymous. That was as close as you've been for a while.
Just doesn't sound right.
Oh, again?
Anonymous.
No!
Someone that doesn't want their identity revealed.
Whenever you're ready, put the white flag up.
None of us. There we go.
So anyway,
if you move away from the mic, I think it works.
Yeah, because no one can hear you. Another word this week has joined the list.
I don't think so.
It has.
I've been sharp this week.
So you've been that, but there was a moment. You've had another moment, and I think the family needs to be across it.
Carl starts sweating. Carl starts sweating when you start talking about his cloud.
He is a very, very mischievous man, I should say.
Right?
I was actually talking about you, Rob. Filling in for Roo Ditson Loves this week.
What's the word? What's the word?
See, you're this is the thing. Mischievous is in my wheelhouse. But that's easy. Anonymous is not.
What?
Mischievous.
Oh, no.
That was sent in by someone that we're not sure who it was. So what would you call them, Tomo?
Just an identity unknown. Great to have Sterling Holmes on board, I tell you what. Yeah, start building in 12 weeks, which is superb. Here at the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom. And speaking of Toms, Tom Morrison had a bit of an incident. Tom Morris, I should say, throughout the week, Rock, is that right?
Yes. The AFL opening of Gather Round at down at Glenelg, he'd done his live cross for Channel 9 and thought he'd just wander into the function and have a few beverages and mingle with everyone that was invited to the exclusive party. And,
well, Rock, you'd think he's, you know, the lead reporter on AFL for Channel 9, you know. Yeah. Straight up, lay down, Mazzaro, wander in.
He just went to stroll in and they said, no, sorry, you're not invited.
What?
And turned around. He's trying to gatecrash the AFL's big function.
That's an ego hitter, isn't it? That is an ego hitter.
Talk about getting knocked back on your ass.
Oh, yeah. So he's tried to gate crash. Is that what we're rolling with here?
He's tried to gate crash the AFL function, yes.
Did I hear Tony Jones was the one that just, he said, I'll have a piece of that.
He's the big dog.
Right. He said, I'll have it. I'll take him a doggy bag home.
No.
Tell you what, if Tony Jones has a doggy bag, he ain't passing it off. No. He'll be eating it.
Oh, hang on. I'll tell you what. Goodness me. When it comes to Gather Round, our man lines the interstaters up, doesn't he? Remember when he was saying about Jared Wheatley last year, Rocky. You know, you could have a beer with him, but you'd go to sleep half a schooner in.
Nothing sure that Tony Jones would have taken a couple of doggy bags home. They wouldn't have seen anyone else but his belly.
Good grief.
Oh, man. Okay.
Now, hang on, Tomo. You were telling me a story the other day about gate crashing, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. That was a few years ago. Yeah, that was at the Ed. You know, the Ed? In the beer garden there. Mm-hmm. This would have been 10 years ago. My brother and I went in there for a quick drink on a Saturday afternoon.
Right.
And went up to, it was around Christmas time, to be fair, just before. Went up there to, you know, get a couple of West End drafts.
Why not?
Straight away.
Straight off the tap.
Yeah, and the bloke behind the jump there just goes, mate, you know, your boss has covered it.
Right.
So that can't be right. He's not here and he doesn't like me. We turn around and it's a whole, I reckon it might have been Smith Brothers, plumbing institution here in Adelaide.
There's a free plug.
They had their Christmas show there. So I thought, these are my people. Me and my brother roll straight down.
You are a man of the people.
That's it. I said, boys, this is a lot of PVC that we've done throughout the year here, and we can have one of these on the house.
Our man is a man of the people. He's also a tight ass rock. So
anytime there's a free beer, you'll be there.
That's right. And don't worry. Made the most of it, right? Pinned them right back. 133353. What have you gate crashed, Adelaide? We've got passes to give away to Morpheville Stakes Day. This is superb. Drinks packages down there, the works. 133353. What have you gate crashed? We'll take your calls next here at DSL. Oh, yeah, good bit of Genesis for a Saturday morning.
Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 6 minutes away from 11 o'clock, 104.7 on the dial. We're also on listener as well. It's the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom, and we're talking about gate crashing right now. Tom Morris tried to, Rock. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he did. He tried to sneak his way in the AFL function. He thought he a bit bigger dog than what he may be, unfortunately, he wasn't allowed in. He went to did his cross with Channel 9, then went to walk in, and they said, sorry, champ. Not for you. Not for you today.
They've champed him too, have they?
I think that was just rock champing him there.
No, that's what the article says. Yes. Sorry, champ.
Sorry, champ.
Sorry, champ.
Yep.
Sorry, champ.
Next time, sport.
Bad luck, sport.
Oh, no.
off
get
your
more
hop.
Brutal than that.
Now, champ. We're going to the family on 133353. What have you gate crashed? Let's head out to Steve from Ingle Farm. Steve, what are you gate crashed?
Morning, lads. How are we?
Yeah, fly, mate.
This was a fair few years ago when Hawthorn were bloody just tearing everyone apart in the comp. I was at Adelaide Oval with my lad. He was about 10, and the Hawthorn cheer squad were assembling at the northern end, getting ready to head down into the rooms to do the banner.
Beautiful.
my lad was decked out in all his horse gear. I said, mate, get on the end of that line and you'll go down in the room. And he's like, oh, no. I said, mate, just do it. And if they ask who you are, just say your dad's up the front there. And sure as shit, they bloody ushered him all the way down to the room.
Oh, wow.
He came out with the banner. Everyone was helping with the banner. He's just standing there in the way filming the whole bloody thing. But yeah, brilliant. Classic.
You'll never forget that. How good's that?
No, oh, that's good.
That is an absolute ripper, Steve.
Nothing better than have the old man push you down there. Once you get the tick of the approval from the old man, you're away.
You're off. Yeah. Off to the races, no. Absolutely.
Who we got there?
We got Carol Fergus from Morgan. Carol, what have you got for us?
Yeah, a few years ago, I went to one of those wedding venues where there's more than, you know, one wedding going on.
All right.
Walked in, put the gift down, got ourselves a drink, came around to have a chat to friends. Didn't know a soul in the wrong room.
Had
to search for all the gifts, looking for our gifts, apologising, no. Get out. Yeah. It was a moment. It was a big moment.
Would have been damning viewing too, watching someone rifle through all the presents.
Well, you'd think there was someone, like, if it's a wishing well and there's all the cards, someone's trying to nick all the money.
Yeah, that's it. What's Carol doing there? You'd be thinking as well. You'd be walking around going, shit, we've done well to get an invite here. Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, 13 minutes past 11 o'clock. It's been the Dead Set Legends having a whole heap of fun here. Boy. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. If you miss anything from the show, you can get it on the listener app, the podcast. It won't be available till Monday because our idiot producer has already left.
Taken off. Yep. Gone.
Gone.
High and dry. We are.
Holding hands at lunch.
Unbelievable.
Being walked over. I'm
whilst
not sure,
on the clock.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who's the bigger doormat, him or Greg Blewett.
No! Hang on a second. Unbelievable. And I know he'll be listening.
I'll tell you what, it's hard to argue with.
Let's straighten up a minute. We've got a few games throughout the rest of the gather round, no doubt about that. And we're kicking off, Rock, with the blockbuster up at Mount Barker very shortly.
Yes, hear all the action live on Triple M or on the listener app, Tomo. It's fantastic. Six games of gather round to go. It's been a huge success already. We've already seen massive, massive crowds. Norwood was sold out last night. 48,000 Thursday night, 47,000 last night. So not sure they'll get those numbers today for this blockbuster, but the Sydney Swans take on the West Coast Eagles up at Mount Barker, Adelaide Hills. Great venue, almost purpose-built for this. Gather round, recently renovated, wasn't it, Tomo?
Yeah, beautiful,
It'll look exceptional out there. The West Coast Eagles, unfortunately, they're probably one of, if not the worst team in an AFL era at the moment, unfortunately.
It's hard to argue with that.
Mm. They've been down there, them and North Melbourne, for the last 3 years almost now. They've been, just can't seem to win games of footy. But
I don't think we've ever seen a team descend so quickly, though.
Nah. Well, that's right. They won the grand final, then they sold the farm for Tim Kelly, and it didn't come off to win another one, and now they're paying the price for that. But the Sydney Swans, they'll be fired up because they had a bad loss last week, to be frank, against the Richmond Footy Club at the MCG. So they'll be fired up, and I think it'll be Sydney in a pretty one-sided affair, you'd think.
Beautiful day for footy. It'll be lovely up there. Nice open ground, obviously. Rocky, just a quick one on that. I've got mates that are West Coast supporters, and they said, happy to go through all this pain for that flag in 2018. Like, it's, you know, a lot of clubs, you know, the Crows are one of them, haven't won one since 98, Essendon 2000. Same, St Kilda 66. Like, they're willing to go through this pain right now for that in 2018.
Yeah, I think to have that experience.
It's a quick one to the Saints.
Saints in 66.
That's actually scary, isn't it? How bad's that?
But moving on from that game, I think this is the next two games are the games that I'm most looking forward to in the round. Fremantle take on Carlton. So we know that my thoughts on where Freo were at the start of the year. Their coach sacked by round 12 and they're undefeated, sitting up the top nice and pretty. But they take on
Crystal
Carlton
Ball again, Rock.
At Adelaide Oval. And Carlton have never won a game there. They need to get the monkey off the back. And it's funny when you have these hoodoos that for some reason you turn up, doesn't matter what you do, you just can't perform. Mm. So Carlton need to get this win. And if they want to be the premiership contenders, which we think they are, I think they'll get the job done today. Fremantle obviously lost a couple more. Injuries may hurt them. It should be a really good midfield battle, though. You look at Carlton's midfielders and also Fremantle's Sarong, Brayshaw. So I think Hewitt will go to Sarong, try and shut him down. But Carlton's forward line's too potent down there. They've got so many avenues. And Harry Mackay's got his kicking boots on for the season. He looks really full of confidence, goes back. And then Charlie Curnow as well. They're as good twin towers as anyone in the competition. So I think Carlton get the job done. What about you, boys?
Yeah, I think so too. Both sides probably coming off soft draws in the last round. So I think that, you know, there's not much to be gleaned out of that. But I do feel like Carlton are the side. They're the team that I think have got all the weapons that you need to win a flag. I'm not sure about Freo just yet. It's a bit too early to call on them.
Yeah. How good is the Harry Mackay story, though, isn't it? Really, you know, media belt him, you know, and you know, everyone's had their fair share to say over the past couple of years to come out and go, bang, bang, is very, very good.
And rightfully so, though, because he's paid the big money. You've got to go back and kick the goals. And everyone goes through it. But, yeah, it's good to see him coming out the other side. The Western Bulldogs take on Geelong tonight at Adelaide Oval. That'll be a cracking contest as well. Let's find out where the Western Bulldogs are at in Geelong. Everyone expects them to be sort of thereabouts again. So this should be a flip of the coin game. I think that the Bont may be carrying a little bit of an ankle injury. I think he'll finish maybe a bit forward.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Have you been down to Elder Park there and had a look? Like, if you go over the footbridge, Fergus, it is superb. It's so good for kids, this whole thing. The zip line down there, it is brilliant. And it must stay in Adelaide, gather around.
Well, it has to. It can't go anywhere. I mean, nowhere else is set up as well for it as Adelaide. And there's going to be more venues, more grounds that are going to be used in the coming years as well. So either end of the city, I think eventually there'll be one down towards McLaren Vale, a game, and then there'll be one down the Barossa probably prior to that. So it's going to be exciting stuff. You wouldn't take it anywhere else. Adelaide does it the best.
Yep, like it, mate. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, the Dead Set Legends. The Rub, not too far away. We're going to wrap the show up next here.